Check, 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 check. All right, we'll get the work session started for the December 6th town board meeting at 5:34. So on the agenda tonight, we have a motion to approve the purchase of a new IH HB 513 SFA plow truck with a Henderson plow package at a cost not to exceed $205,000. So a lot of work was done into the research. I'm convinced of that for sure by the highway superintendent. And there's been some vacillation as far as, you know, what truck we're going to go with. At first, I thought we were headed down the Mack Volvo path. And then, up until just recently, we're looking at IH. So, you know, I have some concerns about the IH, just because we've spent an awful lot of money on an IH truck in the last year on things. I'm concerned about the history that we've had recently with IHs, and I'm also concerned with resale value down the road, because a big part of our truck purchase program relies on a decent buyback. And we would, you know, the whole idea was that we would rotate these trucks out while they still had some value and apply those funds to a new truck. You know, that being said, and I think Jerry was going to be here tonight. You know, there's a chart right here that shows you, these are the IHs here, and these are the resale values of the Mack. So the chart, as far as the resale value, doesn't look very good. So definitely want to hear from him, in particular, why we went down this road.
Well, I have a concern that it's on the agenda. In previous years that I've been a part of this, I'll just reference Gene. He would come to the board and present all of the trucks that were available to buy on the state contract. And you know, you've got to be careful there, because there are some town councilors who are no longer on the board who thought they knew exactly what truck to buy. And I think that's going too far in one direction, but at least the board got an appreciation for why, and a recommendation from the highway superintendent why in one year it was the best Western Star, and then another year it was something else, and I like to hear that. And so I'm not ready to vote on buying an International Harvester by any stretch.
Well, I think Jerry will be here. I mean, I spoke with him earlier in the week, so you know there will be, I would guess, a lengthy discussion during this work session regarding his decision and where
he. But I don't have any paper in front of me, Joe. I have nothing that shows prices for state contracts. I have nothing in front of me.
Yeah,
and that's inappropriate.
Well, and the other thing, I've got to say this. One of the reasons why we set up a highway committee so that the board, or a good chunk of the board, would have a firm understanding of our position as far as what truck we were going to do. And so then it would be just basically a presentation to the members that aren't on there. And I don't know why we're not utilizing that committee. I mean, we're about to authorize spending of $205,000 on a truck, and we know what's happened in the past, and as far as a mispurchase, and I'm not saying that the board get involved to the point where we specifically direct the highway superintendent where to go with the truck, but the process, I'm convinced that there's been a lot of research and a lot of conversations with dealers, that I am convinced with, but what I guess is concerning is that the information to this board hasn't been shared.
No, and I want to see a piece of paper that lists every single truck that's on the state contract. There's got to only be six of them, six or seven companies, and with a price and the pluses or the pros and cons. If you buy this one, here's the pros, here's the cons. If you buy this one, here's the pros, here's the cons. I also want to hear not only about what you're saying about resale, but you know what else, who's using these trucks in Central New York and specifically Onondaga County and some neighboring towns and villages. This is cold. This is on the agenda for tonight. Not appropriate. This is not good enough. This is not a protocol. And I'm not blaming you, Joe, but I'm just saying something got lost in the shuffle here.
Well, right, but it's on the agenda. We don't have to act on it tonight, and there should be a presentation tonight.
Here he comes.
And I'm just telling you what I'm looking for, and I'm telling you right now, a verbal presentation without paper in front of me is not going to do it.
Okay.
Jerry's here.
Hey, Jerry, come on in. We're talking trucks.
We've got a light agenda. Come on up and join us.
Want me to increase it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to do?
How are you tonight? How are you tonight?
Busy.
Yep.
So
we would love to hear and see some backup material and how you got to where you got to.
How I got to where I got to. Well, that's easy. It's all here. Okay. We worked with three vendors, Beam Mac, Stadium International, and Tracy Road Equipment. Okay. We
all three have state contracts?
Yes. We told them what we wanted. We wanted, you know, in the 425 to 440 horsepower range. We wanted 1,550 foot-pounds of torque, at least. And a seven-year comprehensive warranty that our biggest concerns are the problems with your modern trucks, your pollution control systems, all those items that are dragging us down financially on the older rigs that don't have warranty anymore.
Gotcha.
By the time we were done wading through specs and differences in the specs and getting everybody on an exact equal footing, our pricing at that point with the seven-year warranty and all the other requirements we had on them, Volvo was like a dual option kind of deal. They have there were differences with each unit, things that you would kind of, I mean, if you could build the perfect truck, you know, you'd take a piece of each one.
Sure.
All right. That's not doable. Different manufacturers can only put certain engines in. Everybody can put the same transmission in, though. Okay, and we got back pricing initially from Navistar, IH, everybody knows them as IH, on a Cummins 9-liter with a Allison 3000 transmission, and that could only be warranted for 5 years. And in looking at that, when I asked for a spec from them, you know, this is their new, you know, the 9-liter and the 3000. And I also asked them for the, now the number's going to escape me, the A26 and a 4500 Allison, A26 being the motor, and 7-year warranty. And when they come back, they only gave us the Cummins and the 5-year. And I didn't get anything on the other at that point in time. This was a couple months ago. And I said, well, that throws them out of the mix because the Cummins didn't meet well, they could make it meet my horsepower requirement, but its torque was only like 1250. Its warranty was only 5 years, you know, so I kind of viewed that as knocking that out of the box. Volvo, the initial response from them was the Volvo motor, the Volvo cab. To put it in perspective, your Volvo Mack, it's the same company. From the running boards down, it's a Mack truck. From the running boards up, the Volvo cab has more room in it. So when we add our controls and everything else in there for the wing controls and that, more room is appreciated. So we went Volvo cab, it's a Volvo motor. Volvo has a different transmission, what they call an I-shift. It's a 12-speed automatic, but it's not truly an automatic. It's a manual transmission controlled by a brain on top of the tranny. There just is no clutch pedal in the cab. It's innovative. Had to give it consideration, looked at the internal components. It's essentially a gear transmission with shifting forks and internal clutches, like a regular clutch.
Has it been in the market long?
Not a huge amount of time, but enough to where it's out there. It's been out, if I had to put a date on it, I'd say about 2006. Oh. It's been out a while. Made contact, so it piqued my interest. Made contact with a highway superintendent in Kirkland, New York. He's got 10 of them, okay? He took over down there in like 2006, 2007, he took over. And it took him 3 years to pull the trigger on this I-shift transmission. He was all IH before when he took over. And so obviously I wanted to know how he was making out with it. Had only had a couple problems, but they weren't what you would call the fault of the transmission. One was a rubber boot on an input shaft that there was a split in it. It's under the box. They must have had the box up at some point. A shovel cut it. Salt got into the rubber boot. It corroded the shaft on the back of the tranny. The shaft is supposed to spline. It's supposed to move in and out. Well, when it quit doing that, it pulled it out of the transmission. And even though the truck was 3 years old, Volvo stood behind it. No cost to them. Bolted a new tranny in it. It'd be Mack. So I'm like, okay, so far I'm impressed. Like I say, they got 10 of them now. Difference, though. You always got to look at the difference. Their type of plowing versus our type of plowing. They're a little bit more open road. Yeah, they have some tracks, but not like our Radisson, you know, where there's 67 cul-de-sacs where you're... That's probably the toughest thing we do with a plow truck is making those turns, pushing that wet, heavy snow. So I had my concerns about it, and we have a barn full of Allison 4500 automatics, and they are bulletproof. They've been out there a long time. They're in fire trucks. They're in over-the-road trucks. They're just bulletproof. In checking our records, we haven't had any what I would call catastrophic transmission failures on the 4500. The only odd one we have over there in service is the 14. It has a 9-liter in it, and it has a 3000 Allison in it. But the only transmission failures we've had were in regards to the lines, rusting, corrosion, the coolers, rusting, corrosion. We've addressed that through our spec requiring all stainless steel lines and coolers. That's a change from the norm. You can buy aftermarket kits, but we want it put on when we buy the truck. Let's see, what else do I want to do?
Did you get price quotes from all three vendors?
Yep. When we got the original go-round, we had 196 on an IH. We had, with a Henderson package. They all got the same plow box package, stainless steel, Henderson plow, wing. It's all like the one we just got.
Gotcha.
Okay. We have one variation that I haven't totally decided on yet, but it's a major change from what we're used to, but I think it's a step in the right direction. And that's our sander unit. From Henderson, I was made aware of a different style under the floor auger system to the spinner on the back. They can dump in front or they can dump in the back. I chose not in the front. I know, you know, some guys will put it in the front for traction. It drops the salt ahead of your wheels. I didn't want to drop salt ahead of the wheels and spray it all over the underside of the truck. We already got enough corrosion problems. I'd rather have it at the back so everybody following us gets the corrosion problem. Minor humor there, you can laugh. Anyway, it just didn't seem like the thing I wanted to do would be to drop salt and coat the underside of our truck, our springs, our axles.
Sure.
Our, you know, I just, no, we'll be okay with traction. We haven't had that much problem with traction. We get into a traction problem, we'll back down the hill, spreading salt as we go. That has happened. So, and after going through all that, I'll just use the box thing. Our harder sanders that we slide in the back and hook up and use, once that sander's in place, you really can't do much else with that truck unless you pull that all out, clean out the truck. This under the floor auger system, it eliminates some of the feed problems at the back end under our gate that controls your material flow with the conveyor. If you get any lumps in the salt like we have right now because we've had salt stored a while, you get lumps against the gate, you literally, you'll lose what you're putting down. Either you got to open the door to get the chunks out or you've got to stop and remove them, and that's not something I want to be doing when we're trying to get the roads plowed. So the auger system, from what I've heard so far, breaks up the lumps. It's under the floor. The box, you won't be able to tell the box on that truck from the box we just got, except for in the wintertime, the rear apron can stay on. The back gate is a standard gate instead of being special for the slide-in sander. The spinner goes up underneath. There's two motors that run, one runs each auger. The difference being a harder conveyor type sander. Yeah, you can pull it from one truck and put it in another, where this one, if you get rid of the truck, it goes with the truck. But if someone's gonna take that truck and do what we do with it in a more rural area or somewhere where their budgets don't allow someday on a rollover price, they'll be happy to have that.
You don't need to take it off for the summer?
No. What happens, you want to switch over and do dirt work or stone work or whatever, you just drop the spinner off the back, and there's plates go on the floor over the augers, and you're right back to a flat bottom box, do what you got to do. There are grates that set on top of the truck, like a hoop. There, I think there's three of them that stops major chunks from going into the truck. They'll fall off on the ground and you can mash them and pick them up with a loader and use them. The grate's actual purpose is to keep people out of the augers. Okay, that's the actual true. When they ship that truck out of there, those grates will be in place. A lot of places take them off, but gotcha. I think I'd rather see them stay on there.
Sure.
That's the way it was designed to work. That's the way we'll use it. The cost difference between an auger box and buying a harder sander, the harder sanders are $10,000. If I want to go with the auger system through Henderson, it's a $1,200 difference. So
more?
$1,200 more to do the auger box. But I've got that in my quotes. I have all my Henderson listing. Like I say, the Henderson package, the only difference is that if I go with the auger box, it's $1,200, or I go with the other. You know,
their package will fit.
It's the same package from Henderson, same exact cost, no matter what truck I put it on. It's okay. 80,000 and change. If we do the slide-in sander, it's 81 and change. You know, it's like it's not even $1,200 difference. So that's a very minor decision that I'll make at the last minute. I want to check flighting dimensions on the augers as far as heft. I don't know how many of you are familiar with like a grain auger on a farm. They're very thin tin, the augers. You know, I saw one of the boxes when I was at Henderson, but it wasn't what we were getting. I was just exposed to it, gave it a quick purview, but I didn't really
study it.
Yeah, so I can get that from my vendor in a matter of minutes and make that final decision. So, you know, as far as maintenance, I did ask him about that on the auger unit, the motors that run the augers. There's two of them. They're small orbital motors that are run hydraulically. They're like $265 a piece. You buy one of the gearboxes on one of our harder sanders and it's $1,000. You buy a conveyor chain on one of our harder sanders, it's $1,000. And they do wear out. So maintenance on the auger system, there are greasers at the front corners of the box that go right into the bushings up front and keeps those bushings greased. The motors are at the back. Changing one of them out, if you do wreck one for one reason or another, it's about an hour. So you can't get a slide out sander out of one of them trucks in an hour by the time you dump the load and
gotcha.
Disconnect and get it out of there and get it on the horses. So okay. it's a viable option. It's a just to put it in perspective, in their yard up there, when I went up there to do a look at our final equipment check for the truck we just got delivered, there were probably 50 units sitting there waiting for the truck cabin chassis to come so Henderson could put them on. Ours was the only one with a slide-in sander. There were all kinds of different auger configurations, front drop, rear drop, with brine systems. You know, I don't think we need to go to that extent. It's a more even flow. You'll get a more even coat on the road once you get yourself dialed in. Who knows? Everybody likes to save salt, right?
So go back to the trucks.
Talk
to us about the three trucks.
So the Volvo, we were on the I-Shift tranny, and the guy from Kirkland, and the type of plowing they do versus ours. So I threw it back to Volvo. I says, hey, I'm not so hep on this manual automatic transmission. Not ready to pull the trigger on that. So price me, can you, with the Allison 4500? And they could. So we got a number back on that from them. And as far as I'm concerned, it knocked that truck out of the box. Put the price too high. By going from their bolt-up motor and that I-Shift tranny at a 202 figure, it went to 211. So just with the transmission change. I'm not going to go that route when the other two trucks already have the 4500 priced in them, and they're lower. So
yep.
It may have been a nice change. Who knows? Other than that, you know.
What other manufacturers did you look at?
Navistar and Western Star.
What about Western Star?
Western Star, we just took delivery of one. They're not a bad truck. They got the torque and horsepower. They're actually almost virtually identical to the Navistar. I think one's 435 in the horse and the other's like 425. The torques are identical, 1550. Their axle ratios get them where they go. They're based on 63 miles per hour. You know, you can change some of those things just with the wave of a computer, you know, the way these new vehicles are, or rear gears, but they're virtually identical. Same size tires. We did go now for the Western Star. we had to do some reprice to get them to equate out to what Navistar was giving us for stainless steel line package and, you know, anti-corrosive items. And it did drive the Western Star price up some. And they don't do it in factory. The truck has to come back and it's an aftermarket kit they put on. So, you know.
Did it happen with the truck you just got?
Nope.
Nope.
It's got the straight from the manufacturer.
Stainless steel?
No.
No.
Standard line sets and coolers and you know, we've got one truck over there that's a 15. It's working its fourth winter now. Who knows? You know, okay, someday if the lines deteriorated, then you'd have to decide, yeah, are we keeping it? I mean, it's going to be 4 years old now.
So what's the price difference between a Western Star with the stainless package and the IH?
I'm going to give you exacts here. Okay. Either that or they don't want us to be able to read it. Okay. This is for the IH. And this is equipped with the stainless steel and everything, the same Henderson packages. $198.875.03. Okay. Western Star. Oh, great.
Yeah, that's with a 7-year warranty.
Yep. Yep. And here's everything that's covered on that warranty from Navistar.
These are basically identical packages, what you're showing us.
Yeah, because like here's the Western Star, and here's their warranty coverage, which is identical to the... We did a buy-up warranty on the one we just took delivery of, and it hasn't changed. It's the same. We went with what they call their EW4 package for warranty for the 7 years. We're never going to hit the 250,000 miles, but we'll hit the years.
Right. I just wanted to make sure we were comparing.
Yes. Okay. And
so
we're
at Western Star.
They're both 7.
What's the Western Star price?
That's what I was going to get you right now, because actually I don't have it on paper, but I got it right here. Come on.
And this is through Stadium?
No, Western Star or, is
I'm
Tracy.
Sorry. I'm sorry. The IH.
Yeah. The IH is through Stadium. Okay. Like I say, I want to give you exact.
And who's the Volvo dealer?
BMAC over in Mattydale.
Yep.
Okay. Equally equipped as much as humanly possible. The Western Star is $201,605. But we do have to bear in mind that, now I can tell you right here, here's the new sales order, because I just got this 2 days ago from Western Star, because I asked them to come up to IH's out of the box spec. And what you're saying here, and then he's not giving you a stainless steel oil pan. The one that's on it is what they call a composite oil pan. Oil pans are something we've changed quite a few of. When they're just a metal, they rust out. The Western Star is a composite oil pan.
Composite.
So Navistar is giving us stainless steel on an oil pan. That's a $1,500 item right there, okay? Western Star is giving us the composite. That won't rust either, okay? But if you look at it in numbers, if you wanted to really put your numbers identical, you know, if the Western Star was putting a stainless steel oil pan on, you'd have to add $1,500 to it. So, you know, if you want to get everything on a real level playing field. And then again, the aftermarket stainless steel place, as it's putting, has not done a ton of Western Star items, okay? But they're out of, like, Pennsylvania. I didn't know the name of the company. I mean, you can buy from them as a highway department if you want, you know, if you had a truck that you wanted to switch over to stainless steel. So there you go. He's got it. Snow Depot.
South Dakota, not Pennsylvania.
I thought they had an office in PA too, though. They might now. I don't know. Yeah, but you do have the name, Snow Depot.
I know the guy is from Utica that moved out there. He got all information when you work for the
New
York
DOT.
Okay.
So Jerry. Okay. So far I like all the numbers, Jerry.
Well, they're all close.
Well, yeah.
They are.
And I like that
new they would
the same
be.
Thing. So I'm curious about the fleet replacement plan hinges on resale value. How do they compare?
I gave you a graph on that. The only thing that's going to skew that graph completely, if you look at it, so
completely.
Oh yeah.
Skew it. Okay, so go ahead.
You look at that. Obviously, that particular graph is put out by BMAC, so you know how it's going to be slanted. we look good. Okay.
Right.
But the Western Star held up good on that graph. The only problem is when you look at the IH on there, well, Freightliner's the rock bottom, okay, for value. If you look at the four different graph points, those are for the different years.
Right.
That graph is solely 10-wheelers, okay? It's not a six-wheel. But the thing that skews it is if you look at it, it's for 3 to 6 year old vocational trucks. And if you look at the years, the ones that are listed there are all Max Force engines, and that was IH's biggest mistake they ever made, which has killed the value of their trucks. So if you look at the years, it's skewed. The A26 isn't in that picture. The A26 has been out there now, I want to say, close to 4 years. Research on that now, you know, they're holding up. So, again, it's hard to judge it completely because we use the trucks differently than over the road. You know, even your different IH people that we talk to, oh, we got millions of miles on them now. You know, their service is good. Their uptime is good. That's great. Over the road's different than around town. So, you know, the simplest way to put it is we pound them hard when we're plowing snow. So
this graph isn't going to help us. Is there one that will, though, with just these two? Or no?
Not that I've seen yet in my travels through this nightmare.
Okay. So. But this isn't really going to help us. So, I mean,
but it does show you it does show you something, and I was pleased to see that the Volvo held value well. I was pleased to see the one that really pleased me, because we do have two Western Stars. It pleased me to see they were holding their value well. But again, it's 10-wheelers, and you know, you can skew it against IH because of the trucks we're talking about. You know, like I have a 2012 over there that we put $27,000 into this year just because of pollution stuff. That's a Max Force engine. That's the nightmare that almost bankrupted the company. There's a couple other things that have happened with IH. Volkswagen bought a huge chunk of that company and put their German engineers to work on the A26 engine. So I know Volkswagen had their deal with the emissions. They got themselves in quite a bit of hot water. They got a lot of money behind them, though.
Jerry, what's the difference between axle forward and axle back?
Turning radius. You know,
it's just
some plow drivers like the way they turn with them back. Different applications. What? The axle itself is either set further forward or further back toward the cab. You'll see it when you look at different trucks. Some are axle forward, some are axle back. So we go with the standards.
So, you know, out of the first, leaving the oil pan aside, I get it. I mean, one's stainless steel, one's composite.
Right.
Just devil's advocate, in terms of gut feeling and resale potential, why wouldn't you go with Western Star given the history, the negative history, not only that we've had, but the world has had with IH?
Well, I understand the negative history, okay? The two that we've got the negative history on, as far as I'm concerned, there's two over there that we've got negative history on. They're both Max Forces. And it's all been pollution stuff. Now, the A26 engine versus the Max Force, okay? They're 13-liter engines. When we stepped into the Tier 4 pollution control world, government, you know, said this is what you will do. IH used their points and credits and created the Max Force engine and created a twin turbo setup.
These are different. This IH has come.
It's a whole different engine.
Right. So, but notwithstanding that, and I'm playing devil's advocate, or I'm trying to, that makes them, in your gut feeling, your intuition, is as comparable to Western Star.
Yes.
There's, in terms of, you know, ultimately when you sell something, it's perception too.
Mm-hmm.
The customer is saying, what's my value here? And I'm not trying to talk you into a Western Star because it's going to be $5,000 more money.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the perception of the of down the road, forgive the pun, you know, 7 years from now, oh, it's an IH. Or some are going to say, oh, it's a Western Star. We'd rather buy the Western. Like, if you were in that position 7 years from now buying a used truck.
I look at things differently I use two expressions. I'm not colorblind and I'm not badge blind. Okay, I look at what's in front of me. How was it maintained? How was it cared for? What kind of condition is it in today? You know, when you go to buy it. You know, a lot of people are badge blind. When you buy an IH or a Western Star or a Volvo or a Mack, you're literally buying the cab because these are component trucks. Like I pointed out already, Volvo said, sure, we can put an Allison 4500 in there, but it's $9,000 more. You know, if you use their I-shift tranny hooked to their motor, they're not paying an outside company, you know, to get that transmission. So that's where they're at the mercy of Allison in that particular case, hence the big price difference. But so literally, you know, if a person looks at something from a perspective of what am I buying, you know, when you say, oh, I want an IH or I own an IH, I don't care, you know, what the badge is, it does the job. You know, that's how I buy them. But a lot of people, I'll tell you this right up front, the differences between a Western Star and the IH, the cab is nicer on the IH. Things are laid out a little better. If you look at the two cabs, the Western Star, you would say it's more old-fashioned. Okay, it has a split window, you know, a divided two-glass window. I equate it to the old Brockways. You know, it's. I mean, it has the air seats and all that stuff, just like the IH. It has all the buttons and controls. It just is not as, I guess I would use the word user-friendly, laid out as comfortably as the IH is, okay? And I sat and drove them both, so it's your flavor. If I was walking out tomorrow with my own money and buying it, either one of these two trucks would do the job. This one's $5,000 less. It has all these parts are warranted. Actually, they give me a list of what's not covered. You know, why did we get the last one as a Western Star? I wasn't comfortable with the amount of time the A26 had been on the market. I didn't have enough people that I could reach out to that had any experience with that motor, and I'm getting good reports on it. So I'll use the example of local man, John White. When he had the Max Forces, oh my, you know, it was like they were going down in flames. Got rid of them, replaced them all with Western Stars. Now we're talking about a guy who's got 400 trucks. Now he's going back to the A26. Okay. So he's going away from the Western Star, back to the, he's placing orders for A26 engine over the road trucks. So, you know, you kind of talk to people like that, and you ask them, what do you like, what do you don't like? I'm more of the durability, the maintenance cost, you know. So I had to look past the value on that graph on that particular item.
Well, and if the truck's not on that graph, then
right. So well, the engine's not.
Right, well, yeah. Right, that's the power.
That's a pretty big part of it.
So we need a truck that's going to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Efficiently, effectively, and as maintenance-free as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And we need a truck that's going to hold its resale value.
Mm-hmm.
And in your opinion,
this should be fine.
This is the one.
Yep.
And locally, services, they're apples and apples?
There's, in some ways, I always have my aversions to people that service our equipment. You know, we need it now, this time of year.
Right.
In the summertime, I'll wait in line like anybody else because I got 9 other trucks I can run if I got to haul gravel or dirt. This time of year, you got 8 routes. We got to have at least 8 trucks running, you know. And when we fall down off of that number, I mean, we had a time last year we were down 4 trucks. We still got it done. It just took longer, you know. And there have been some fundamental changes in the last 6 months at our local Stadium International. Trust me, I covered all aspects of this. There's a guy named Pete over there that understands the municipal plight like the guy that used to be there did. You know, you got a plow truck down for a municipality in the wintertime, get him in here, get him fixed. I can't think of the other guy's name, but there's Pete and another guy over there now. Tina's still on the counter. She's been there forever. You know, I'm okay with that. Beam Mac had the same philosophy. In the wintertime, we'll do everything in our power to get you in here and get you fixed. I mean, when I went over there and met with them on the Volvo Mac, I talked to their service guys. They seemed good with it too. I'm going to be honest with you. You take a truck to Tracy, you're going to wait. It doesn't matter. So that's the only black mark with the Western Star, as far as I'm concerned, is the way you're treated at service. We've had a few things happen with the Western Star. The first one that I wasn't here for the purchase of, that should have been covered under warranty, and we got charged for it. So, it happens everywhere. You're going to have your issues everywhere you go. I'm looking for, because I'll tell you, if the same people were there at stadium, nothing had changed from last February when I had my 10-wheeler over there for over 3 weeks in the middle of winter, I probably wouldn't be as hep on their service either. But again, them and Tracy got, at that point in time had the same issues. So I'm hoping that the change of personnel, the fundamental changes, who's running the service department, I'm hoping it helps us. I will say that for our aging fleet, which is a lot of IHs, we're having good luck with Mays Fleet Service over in, it's like Lynn Court area. We had a 10-wheeler down last week, that same 10-wheeler, with another pollution control issue. And it was throwing an engine light. I called up over there, they had a guy in my door within an hour. He plugged it in, read the codes, said this needs to go to the shop. Communicated with a guy named Mark over there, runs the service. He read all the codes, he says get it over here, we'll get it in, we'll get the parts, we'll have it back to you tomorrow, and he did. So I'm pleased with anything that's not warranted.
What's the company?
It's Mays Fleet Service. They're on, they're next to the STS trailer place over there past the Lynn Court Firehouse. So they're not too far away. They helped me with the 14 one day over the summer when it had a sensor issue and got it right back to us. So, and that's for our aging fleet. The ones that aren't under warranty, which right now I have one truck with warranty on. And that's the one we just got delivered. So,
and we're happy with that so far.
How happy can you be? It's probably got not even 1,000 miles on it, But yeah, we haven't had any initial bumps. So,
Jerry, if we pull the trigger tonight, we vote on it. Is there any time difference between Volvo, Navistar, Western Star,
yes,
and International, and when we're going to get the vehicles?
Yep. If we went with the Western Star, we would probably see it in September. If we do the IH, we'll probably see it in June, July. Your Western Star, Canadian production, I guess there's a backlog of orders everywhere you go, but IH has more facilities that produce, so they can keep up with the demand a little bit better than Western Star can.
Is there an advantage for us by getting it in July? Are you able to look at it and do anything?
No, I would rather. I was hoping this one we just took delivery of, I was hoping to get it before our summer fall was over, because I like to put them through their paces before you put the harness on it and it's snowing out. I don't want to find the little glitchy problems when you're pushing snowbanks back up to Cross Lake, and that's where that truck runs. So. We haven't had any glitchy problems yet, but I wanted to get an opportunity to run it, haul some gravel, dig some ditches, run the box up and down before we put the harness and the plow on it and said, there, now we're waiting for the snow. So this will help me in that aspect if nothing changes. We should get it. When they tell you June, I'm going to say July, okay? Because Henderson enters into that too. Henderson will have that truck for 3 weeks. Depending, hopefully they won't be as busy in June, July as they are in the fall like they were with our Western Star. So it's a process. Volvo, as far as I'm concerned, with the bulletproof tranny, they're priced out. 211, they're too high, but even them, they were talking next October. So, you know, and that's hoping that they were on mark with that. But
Jared, what would be helpful to me, I can't speak for all these guys, I'm prepared. Basically, you did an excellent presentation tonight to vote on this thing tonight. It's on the agenda. But what I would like to see in the future is before we come to the table and have you do your discussion like that you did tonight, I'd like to have all of what you said on one piece of paper. You know, just, you know, Western Star, you know, here's the four or five columns.
Pros,
the
cons,
price, you know, and then, you know, just nutshell. Delivery. That way I've got it right in front of me, and six months from now when someone asks me a question, yeah, I got it right here. So it's just a one sheet, whatever, what would you call it, an outline or something. Just, you know what I'm saying. Everything it's that you've got there, yeah. Just a summary. And that way, and before you come in, each of us would read that. I might have some questions. I'm much more confident about the IH now than I was 20 minutes ago. Only because I don't know anything about trucks, and except for the nightmare that we've been in.
I got much more confident about it when I got these two pieces of paper with the warranty cover.
Does that make sense, what I've just asked you? Just to put it on a piece of paper and, you know, just have Joe's secretary type, or you type it up.
Because what I do typically, like with the last Western Star that we spec'd, I mean, you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time you do this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for that particular vendor, this particular time, it was quite easy for them. I said, produce what you just delivered me with the updated pricing. And then we jumped off from there with hey, we need the stainless steel this. We need a couple things we did change, no matter which truck. We're putting, been putting aluminum fuel tanks on them for years. And they're held on with steel straps, and they rust off. The air tanks. Some have twin tanks. One of our Western Stars, the older one, has a big tank for air. The new one has twin tanks. Okay, they're steel, but you can get them in aluminum. It doesn't rust, because we've changed at least, I dare say, five, maybe six tanks just in the time I've been there, because they rusted out where they're leaking air.
Tanks or the straps?
No, this is the air tanks.
So what does this truck have?
Aluminum. Everybody had to come to that. IH started off at that. So they had less come up work to do, and their price was actually, like you said, $5,000 lower. So
it sounds like there was a lot of advantages with the IH. Was there one thing in particular, Jerry, that really got you excited about or got you to stand?
Nothing gets me excited about this.
Okay, was there one thing that really got you?
Well, I don't drive them, so.
Well, the guy who's set up to drive it is excited about it. So the guy who's going to be getting the truck on his route, he likes IH too.
That's awesome.
Now, just protocol-wise, do we get a written quote from this company before we do business with them? I mean, you had
something. I have it right here.
I know you were looking for the, okay.
Yeah, and the motion sets a cap.
Yes. Just like last time, we set a cap at 205. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be under that by a bit. Even if I go with the auger box, and since like our Volvo truck spec when we did this was based on Kirkland had just wrote a spec for a six-wheel truck with a Henderson package. So we took that spec and I went through it away from being Mac, and then I said, okay, here's what you can get out of there. Like, I took his spec and I reviewed it, and like he had trailer connections and things. We don't tow trailers with our six wheels. That was $1,000 off, little things. I said, get rid of this, get rid of that. We don't need dual this and triple that. But I left certain things he had in it. He had the stainless steel straps on the tank. He had the aluminum tank. That's where we started to find out we can do this, we can do that.
Oh.
And then when I got to the IH, it was already there. And that, much as there's been days, Bob Carson specs them that way, knowing where we operate. He puts the aluminum tanks on, he puts the stainless straps on. That's not a, when you order these, you can get them any way you want. And that's how he set up the spec for me originally was all that was in there already in price. So the others had to kind of come up to that.
Now, is this truck the one we're going to be, not the brand, but this is a six-wheeler, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where we're going in Lysander, or are we going to have a mix of 10 and 6s?
No. Where this truck is rooted, mm-hmm. And that is one of the things you do have to bear consideration, where the truck is going. And these trucks are assigned to an MEO, okay? So it's not like 10 different guys are driving that truck on a regular basis. This isn't like the state where you got three shifts. You jump out, I jump in, and take your truck down the road. So I find that no matter what, and some guys are better than others, but the maintenance, you're held accountable because you're assigned to that truck. So if something isn't being done on it, you know,
it's nobody else's fault.
Yeah, that's right. Hello, that's your truck. That thing looks ugly. Take a hose to it. Whatever. You know, I mean, that helps me as a manager of the fleet.
All right, so this is going to a route.
Yes, this is going to replace truck right. 7, and I can almost give you all the street names. Does so, Timber Banks and...
But in the future, we will be buying more 10-wheelers.
Yes. Okay. Your 10-wheeler would be the one that would replace truck 18, okay. Which runs way out in the country, way out in the northwest corner. You know, you don't want a 10-wheeler on the cul-de-sacs. So that's the truck that Al Markham drives. And when that one comes up for replacement, let's see, you've got 7, you got truck 8, you got truck 1 and truck 11 before we get to truck 18, age-wise. I had put it in my request for, call it repair and maintenance dollars. Truck 1 and truck 11 are our two last, they're like, I want to say they're like 2010s, 2009, 2010, in that vintage. They're the last two trucks we have with steel boxes on them. Okay, they're the green box trucks that we have. There's only two of them over there. Those boxes, since they're as far out as they are, need to be blasted and painted. Or we're going to, you know, they're going to look as ratty as 7 does now. 7's an 05.
That's your question.
Thank you.
So, and cosmetically, do we get to choose the color of the truck? And
it's green.
It is green, and they'll put the logo on for us? Is
that we put the logo on them, yeah. We have a vendor that we get the lettering from, and... I don't know, it's kind of a prideful thing. The guys like to do that right there in the shop, hang the numbers.
Sure.
Oh, the number designation for the Western Star, that was a trip. What number are we going to put on it? Oh, I don't know. What number's available? I don't care. Here, put 17 on it. You know. So that's where it ended up. It ended up truck 17.
Identify it.
But, it, you know, let them do that. You know, let them put the low. They took a little pride in the established 1794 and, you know, putting that on there, making sure it's square and neat. And if there's a bubble in it, I point it out. So, you know, you gotta do those things. So,
Jerry, I'm really impressed with the homework you did.
Yeah, and thank you very
I
much.
I think this was one of your strengths, is
well,
equipment.
I hope so. I got enough of it.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for explaining it.
Nicely done.
Yeah, anytime you want to... bedtime reading. Go ahead. I mean, there's lots of it here.
We'll vote on it tonight. And I'm assuming you're going to get unanimous approval on this. But could you still do a
cheat summary?
A one-page cheat sheet for this?
I could.
Would you?
You're just looking for pricing and manufacturer?
Yeah,
and
like if you were... Yeah, basically how you sold.
What are the strongest points? What are the most important? What are the selling points?
Just a summary.
That's good for us to have.
So that when we're comparing, when we're comparing the two trucks.
And that way we have it for our file.
I got one for you.
A one pager.
No, just a one pager.
No, I got one for you.
He's got something else.
I got the Volvo. It was going to be the one on the left. He already saw it. No, you're not allowed. I don't want you to print all that.
All right. So
yeah, and
I can give you that though, quick synopsis if you're looking for it for your.
And just next time you talk to Bob, let him know that
this truck is going to be watched
like a hawk.
I already
If we have issues with this IH, this might be the last IH we buy
ever.
Well, I'm actually at least I'm actually going to tell them if all this stuff and what's presented to us and it doesn't come to fruition, I'll go for a motion that excludes them from the bidding process for 10 years, if that can be done.
And
there's a lot of vendors out there. So.
Jim, and not to belabor it, I hope you understand what we're looking for in this one page. Mm-hmm. If you were going to buy something from Amazon, you know, some piece of machinery, at the bottom of the page, they list mm-hmm. five or six things.
Just
they,
pros and cons.
Just, yeah. You know, the price, the pros, this is this much power, this much horsepower, and then a place at the bottom, your notes that would say, this is why I'm recommending.
This is what really convinced me. You
know? The biggest thing in all of this, if anybody ever goes to attempt this, other than myself, is the hardest thing you have to do when you do this is getting apples to apples.
Absolutely.
And you it takes like two rounds with the vendors to get there, you know, because as you go through your vendors, you'll see something, geez, that looks like a great idea. Can you do that too? You know, so you do got to do a little back and forth to get them and
get them all on the same page.
When I did that the other day, actually, I only hit each vendor twice because we did a lot of research ahead of time. So we had a pretty good clue what we were looking for. It was the little things, the aluminum tanks, the stainless steel tank straps, the non-corrosive items. You know, what else could we get that would make sense for non-corrosive? Because that's our enemy.
One last question, Jerry. Were the warranties the exact same with all the vendors, or did any of the companies try to make anything different on the warranties?
Well, if you look at like this page right here,
yeah.
Okay, all your manufacturers. Well, actually, I had the two right there for you. Okay, and you might as well do it. Okay, their setup is this: it's Detroit extended service coverage. Okay, you can pick a level. What do you want covered?
Right.
All right. This is one cost. Okay. If you go to this group, you pick up these items plus all these. If you go to this one, you get these items plus all those.
Okay.
We are at the EW4.
So we have everything.
And the reason being is there's certain components within this. If you read those, I took my glasses off, but there will be some pollution control type things. And just to throw it out there, that deal with the 2012 MaxForce, the engine light the other day, it needed a new EGR valve. And what that is a piece of iron about this big, square and long, and there's flappers in there, and when they stick, it loads the intake up with carbon and plugs everything, and it trips a sensor, and that part was $2,500.
Jesus.
Okay, so when you look at this and you see, let's get it covered for 7 years, that warranty protection on the Western Star, I want to say on the truck we just took delivery of, for 7 years buy-up protection to extend you beyond the norms to go to the 7 years and cover these items, was $5,100. My bill just for that one little engine light the other day was over $4,000. By the time you tacked on this pressure sensor, the EGR valve, the labor was actually the cheap part of it, and they had to pull the seats out and the floor out of it to get at it. So, and they had turnaround in a day for me because we're in winter. So good for them, you know. But that truck is only 6 years old. If this coverage had been on that truck, I wouldn't be paying that big bill.
Right.
So it's critical to do that. So that's theirs. And this one was Navistar's, laid out a little differently, but it gives you the package component of the 7 years and the mileage. And, you know, all this is basically your engine, okay? All your pieces, parts, crankshaft, rods,
okay.
Bearings, seals, gaskets, water pump. And when you go back here, you know, covers chassis things, fuel systems, okay? This is your after treatment. That was the other big change. With the Navistar to the A26, it's not like the MaxForce. It doesn't have the twin turbos and the recirculation of the exhaust gases like the MaxForce. This has a DEF fluid, which is injected into the exhaust system to get rid of all your noxious items, okay? And so if you look right here, it says after treatment, SCR after treatment. And in Navistar, these are all the items that are covered in that. If you don't do these pop-up warranties, when you get past warranty, you're on the hook for all that. So, and this is all part, and actually if you look at what is not covered, there's the components, you know. They don't cover the connection of loose fasteners, squeaks and rattles, you know. You're talking door handles and things, I can deal with that. But all your runability components are covered.
Well, and keep us apprised over 7 years.
Oh, I will.
Jared, we're gonna meet again on December 20th. Can you have that one sheeter by then?
Oh, I can produce it and throw it in mailboxes long ahead of that.
Okay, great. That's so, super. Thank you very much.
All right. Appreciate so we're all set here?
Thank you.
We're all set. Thank you, Jared. Thank you a lot.
All right, so moving down the agenda, we might as well look at the agenda before we pop into a quick executive session to talk about negotiations. Item A is that just a public hearing for the penalties for parking overnight, illegal parking overnight. We're all familiar with that. Authorize a supervisor and deputy town supervisor to sign the New York State Dormitory Authority grant. Was there a question there?
Yeah, the attachments, there's two individual page attachments that get attached to that packet that Dina did copy for you. One was a consent order from the DEC that we had for the petroleum bulk storage operator that we addressed earlier this year, and the other was a statement of other grant contracts that we're currently working on.
But she has those?
She has those.
Okay. Okay. Item C is what we just talked about at length. Great job, Jerry. Great research there.
I'm glad it's over.
Yeah. Yeah. Second one is going to be probably more ornery.
What's that?
Second truck, if we go with a second truck this year. Cause
it might be easier.
Seems like there's a lot of moving targets on it.
Do a rewrite.
Yeah.
This part of it should be easier.
Then D and E are pretty straightforward. So unless there's any other questions. All right, so hearing no questions, can I get a motion to move into executive session concerning labor relations at, 6:36?
I'll move it. I'll second that.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
I was opposed, but we need one more vote.
Aye.
Okay. All those opposed, motion carried. We are in executive session. We will come out of executive session publicly. So, bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're in executive session.